because they stealing. He didn't say because they fornicating. He didn't say, man, because they coveted. He didn't say, man, because they stealing, because they lying, because they not observing, man, all of the laws of God. He said, no, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge of how to live like God wants you to live. How to come out of darkness into the marvelous light. How to come out of sinful living into righteous living. Now, we got our way. And our way, man, is to quit sinning. When God's way, man, is to become more righteous, to awake to righteousness. Listen, if you're trying to gain God's approval, man, by quit sinning, hey, that's not going to get it. But boy, I tell you how he has designed for you to get his approval. Not by you trying to stop sinning, but by you trying to live righteous. The Bible said this way, awake to righteousness and sin not. In other words, he said you don't stop sinning or sin less to become more righteous. This is what he said. This is what he's doing. He said the more you awake to righteousness, the more you realize, man, how righteous you already are, the more you come to the knowledge, man, that God created you in his image and his likeness, and he all righteousness, and you just like him. And as you awake to that and come to the knowledge of that you ain't trying to get right, you ask most believers, are you righteous? They're going to say, well, no, I'm not righteous. You know, I got this. Yes, you are. You're the righteousness of God created in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says this, he who knew no sins, talking about Jesus, God made him to be sin, man, took my sin, took your sin, took the sins of the whole human race, man, and placed it upon him, man, and nailed it to a cross and condemned sin. Then in exchange took all the righteousness of Jesus. How righteous is Jesus? He's all righteous. Took all of the righteousness of Jesus, which is the righteousness of God, and placed it upon you. A transfer took place at Calvary. All your sins Jesus bore and all his righteousness, man, he gave to you. He took our sins. He took all our sins, past, present, and future, and gave us his righteousness in exchange. Then he said, now you know what I want you to do? What? Now take my place. What? Try to stop sinning, Lord? No. Start living righteous. Start living righteous. Start living like what you already are. Don't try to stop sinning and try to get it. Man, receive it because it's yours. It's your inheritance. You are heirs of the righteousness of God. You are heirs of the kingdom of God. You are heirs of the blessings of God. You are heirs of all the treasures of heaven. You are heirs of all that God has for you and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That's your inheritance. Righteousness is a part of your inheritance. It belongs to you. You ain't trying to get it. You already are. You just don't know it. You're trying to live there to get righteous so you can get to heaven, man. When God ain't trying to get you to heaven, man, God came down to this earth and bought heaven. Watch this. Not to you, back to you. I told you, boy, in Genesis chapter 1, he already established his kingdom up on the earth. Because if you read in chapter 2, into them pieces, the Bible saying God formed man body from the dust of the ground, and God breathed into man's body the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and man and God started him on his journey. He showed him the destination first. He showed him the finish mark first. He showed him the line first, just like racers do. They set the destination first. They set the mark first. They set the finish line first. And then after they set the finish line first, then they back all the way back up to the starting line. Then they say, on your mark, that means, man, set your face toward the destination. What? The finish line. They say, now get set. That means get ready to head toward it. Then he say, go. And boy, them racers, man, them runners take off, man. Where they headed to, they ain't just running all over the place, man. They running toward the mark. What? The finish line. What I read to you in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 31 through 31, man, that's the mark. That's why the Bible says, man, we all fall short of the mark. That's the destination. That's the finish line. Then he back all the way back up, man, to the starting line, man, and say, on your mark, get set, go. And then when he said that, after he formed Adam's body from the dust of the ground, and by the way, when he was talking to Adam in the garden, he was talking to everybody. God made one body from the dust of the ground, from the earth, and never went back to the earth again. What you saying, Arthur? He made one body and placed mankind in that body. And then, man, from that body came everybody. Hallelujah. Eve and everybody else came from that one body. He went to the ground one time. That was dead, man. So everybody come from that one body. So when God was talking to Adam in the garden, he was talking to everybody. Adam is not just a name he gave to that one man. Adam, Adam, is the name that God gave to the human race. That's all mankind. Because all of us, man, come from Adam, from that body. Originated from that body. With a purpose, a destination, a finish line, a mark. What's that mark? That big picture on the puzzle, on the box. What it is? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. Then again, he back up to the starting line. And then he set us on course toward that finish line, that mark. The Bible says all of us, that's what sin is, to fall short of the mark. That's the original sin. Adam didn't make it, man, to the mark. But just because Adam didn't make it to the mark, like, remember what I said? I catch this. God said, I know the plans that I have for you. They're plans to prosper you, not to harm you. He said this, man, you know, I declare the end from the beginning, and my counsel gonna stand. Just because Adam messed up on his part, man, that don't mean God gonna mess up on his part. He faithful. He true. He gonna watch over that word to perform it, man. That's why all them pieces came in there then, you know. And he started putting all them pieces together, the 500 pieces of the puzzle, all these scriptures in the Bible that you read. Listen, if you take the Bible out of the context and of God's original plan and purpose for your life, then you're going to come up with error. You're going to misinterpret the Bible. And you're going to come up with religion and religious rituals and ceremonies. And you're going to be preoccupied with having church and having good church and never come to the knowledge of how to be the church. See, it's one thing to have good church, and we do that in our religious services and even in our kingdom ministry too. We have good church, good preaching, good teaching, good word and everything else. So we know how to have good church. We even know, man, church protocol, how to conduct ourselves in our rituals and our ceremony and everything else. But you don't know kingdom protocol. You don't know the proper, you know the proper procedures on having church, but you don't know the proper procedures on how to be a kingdom citizen. That's why I say my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because they have gotten preoccupied with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. Because they don't know the end. That's why I say death, where you stand? Grave, where your victory? Ain't got no stain, ain't got no victory. Why? Because you got everlasting life. But if you don't know that, you know that, you know that, you know that, man, you'll be in fear of death. You'll be terrified of death. When our loved one cry, man, we think that our die, we think that that's a termination of life, man. So we get to crying and hooping and hollering and missing them. And Lord, why did you do this? And why? Man, that's the best thing that ever could happen to you. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You hear that all the time, especially in funeral service and everything else, but you don't really know what that means. You don't really understand that. You heard that and you know that, and most of us believe that, but he said get knowledge and get wisdom, but in all you're getting, get an understanding so that you can know how to apply that to your everyday life and thereby, man, live in the reality of that. That's always been my desire from day one. I didn't want to be a Christian, you know. I didn't want to join a church and do all that and go through the rituals. That's all a part of it. But my greatest desire was to walk in the reality of what it means to be a child of the Most High God. Not to just be a child of the Most High God, but to walk in the reality of that. To walk like that, to talk like that, to act like that, to think like that, to live like that. In the reality of that. Not just a hoping and praying, man, and hoping, man, as when it's all said and done, man, I'm going to make it to heaven. No, I'm as sure for heaven as if I was already there. And you who have accepted Christ in your life and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, man, you are as sure for heaven as if you were already there. So instead of trying to live, man, to get to heaven, man, or live a certain way, man, to get to heaven, man, you are start living a certain way, man, because you're already there. Thanks be unto God who has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of his dear son. Lord. We were born in this world and shaped in iniquity and everything else, but boy, when Jesus Christ came in, he came and redeemed our life from that destruction that Adam caused man in the garden when he ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and violated God's word. While he was on his way to that mark, the devil snuck in there, man, and stuck his leg out there, man, and tripped him. And he failed. He failed. That's what I mean when they say sin is to fall short of the mark. He got tripped. He failed. And when he failed, man, he knew he couldn't get back up. He tried to. He tried to get back up, man. You remember when he tried to get back up, what he did? He went and found some leaves, man. And covered himself up, man. Why? Trying to get back in right standing with God. Trying to get back, man, to that relationship that he had, man, in the beginning before he tripped. God said, Adam, I see you mean well, and I know you mean well, but you can't fix yourself. So God came down, man, and killed the animal, man, and wrapped him up, man, in blood. Why? Adam was trying to save himself. Adam was trying to redeem himself. Adam, man, took fig leaves and covered himself up and his wife up, man. And God said, Adam, you can't save yourself. The best you can do ain't going to do it, man. So I tell you what I'm going to do, Adam, man. I'm going to save you myself. I'm coming looking for you, man. The Bible says Adam and them was scared and they was hiding. It wasn't Adam and them after they did that. It wasn't Adam and them, man, going looking for God. It was God came looking for Adam. Adam, where art thou? Same thing. You know, we testify and say 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I found the Lord. No. No, you didn't find the Lord. He wasn't lost. It was you and I that was lost. It was God come down here looking for us, glory to God, in the person of his son. And he not only came down here looking for us, he found us, baby. And when he found us just like he found Adam, dead in trespasses and sin. And just like he provided a covering for Adam, he provided a covering for you. Just like, man, he killed an animal, a lamb, man, and provided that blood and the coat of that lamb and covered Adam with, man. Behold, the Bible say, the Lamb of God that was slain. Boy, I'm finna get excited. Y'all gonna make me preach. Behold, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. I told you God already decided, man, and already had a plan. You think God didn't know Adam and them was gonna eat out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You think he didn't know that Adam and them was gonna fall? He already, man, provided man salvation for him, man, even before he started. He already provided a covering for him, man, even before he started. God knew he was going to eat off he was going to be disobedient. So God already provided a lamb, a covering for him, before the foundations of the world. And boy, man, 4,000 years later, according to Bible chronology, then came Jesus. Let me say it in an even different way. Then came our Father in heaven in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. What he come for? Come looking for you and me. You and me were running and hiding. You were born in trespass and sin. When you were born, you didn't come out praying and saying, Lord, well, Lord, I love you and all that. No, you come in living according to the dictates of this world. You was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And boy, your Father in heaven, you couldn't help. In other words, let me say it plain and simple. You couldn't help but to sin because that was your nature. Why? Because you come from man, Adam, man, then man, after they got put out of the Garden of Eden. After they got put out of the kingdom, man, of God. After they lost their identity and their righteousness and their right standing with God. Then, man, came Cain and Abel and the rest of the human race. They were born, man, not in Eden. Mankind was born in the wilderness, separated from God, according to a law. Because God told him, man, in Genesis, man, chapter 2, he said, listen, you can eat off all these trees in the garden. But in the midst of the garden, there's a tree, man, called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you can eat off it. I give you free will. I give you dominion in the area. So if that's your choice and that's the will you want to choose, man, you can, man, because I give you free will. But let me tell you something, son. If you eat off that tree, he didn't say you're going to die. He said you're going to surely die. What you mean? He say, what's death? What death are you talking about death? You're going to surely, man, be separated from me. Why is that important? Because, man, in order for you to fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny, you got to stay hooked up to your source and your sustainer. just like a plant has to stay hooked up, man, to the soil in order for it to continue to grow. You pull a plant up from the soil, it's still green at first and everything else, but boy, man, right then and there, it start decaying. Why? Because it's dead. It's separated from its source. Same thing, man, when Adam and them got put out of the garden, they were separated from their souls. They died spiritually. He lived 900 and some years later physically, but he died spiritually. There are three types of death. Spiritual death, that's separation from God. Physical death, that's when your spirit that's created in the image and likeness of God leave your body. That's another story. And when your spirit leave your body, yeah, your body ain't got no more purpose on it. Like, that's why it drained away, died, decayed, and everything else, man, and go back to the dust of the ground from which it came. That's physical death. That's a result of his parent. What's his parent? Spiritual death. What's spiritual death? Separation from God. What separated us from God? Our sins and our trespasses. That we were born in and shaped in. We were born separated from God. We were born spiritually dead. And as a result of it, man, you know this old body gonna go back to the dust of the ground. But remember, the body ain't you. That's just your house. And then if you don't ever come to the knowledge of the truth, man, and accept Jesus Christ into your life and accept God's love for you and God's plan and God's purpose for you, and you die, man, separated from God, man, the Bible calls that eternal death. That means eternally separated from God. Another place in the Bible called it hell. What's hell? Being eternally separated from God without any hope, man, of ever being reconciled back to him. Right now, man, there's a lot of people separated from God, but there's hope. There's still time. There's still a chance for you to be reconciled, man. There's still a chance for you, man, to hear the gospel, the good news, man. Paul said, I'm not this way. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation. He's not talking about any gospel. Gospel just simply means good news. There's a lot of good news in there. He's talking about a specific gospel. What? The gospel of the kingdom of God. What God is doing. God's plan of salvation for your life. What God did to save your life. Not what you did to save your life. What you trying to do to save your life. Because that ain't going to get it. Your righteousness, our righteousness, is like filthy rags. The best we could do couldn't get it done. Because you had already sinned. So like I say, so God came down here, man, himself in the person of his son. And found us dead in trespasses and sin. And watch this. And covered us, man, in his blood. Redeemed our life from the destruction that we inherited, man, from Adam. Paid the penalty for all our sins so that we could be put back in right standings with our Father in heaven. And then we could, man, get back, man, on the track, man, and start heading toward the destination that he set for our lives. Listen, if you're trying to do it any other way, man, the Bible said, Jesus said this, I'm the door. And if you come in any other kind of way, you're a thief and a robber. That's God's plan of salvation for your life. God come down here looking for you and saved you. He saved you. He ain't trying to save you. He done already saved you. What's my responsibility, Arthur, man? When you hear the good news, man, receive it. Receive the gift of salvation. The penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. That's a gift from God. Boy, that's the love of God. That's how much your Father in heaven loves you. You were dead in trespasses and sin, man, and all of us have sinned and still sinning in our lives. Oh, you might not commit adultery. You might not lie. You might not steal. You might not drink. You might not smoke. You might not do this here, but are you in the image and likeness of the Most High God? Are you walking and talking just like him? Are you living like him? Are you acting like him? But if you're not exactly like him, the express image of his purpose, of his person, that's sin. Anything short of the mark. What's the mark? To be just like God in character, in nature, and in function, and in likeness. Just like him. We on the road to that, but we ain't made it yet. We still a work in progress, you know, but we on the road. And as we on this road, our responsibility, man, is to stay on the road, man, keep our eyes on Jesus, and encourage one another, man, along the path. If you see a brother or sister taking on a fault, you don't condemn them. The Bible says restore them in the spirit of weakness. we see a brother and a sister taking in a fall, we go to judging them. We go to condemning them. Yes, we got to let them know, man, hey, that ain't right and that ain't. But it's the spirit in which you do it in. You don't do it and condemn them, declare them not suitable for use, man. I don't care what you done, man. God used a murderer, man. Cut it up. You gonna make me. God used a murderer, Saul of Tarsus, man, and turned him into a man, one of the greatest apostles there ever was, man, and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Who a murderer? Most Christians would have been condemned him because he was murdering Christians. But God used a murderer. He didn't condemn him. He fixed him up, picked him up, man, and set him on course toward the purpose that he had for his life. What, man? To be an ambassador of Christ to the lost and dying. To go into all the world and let the world know that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself, forgiving them of all their trespasses and sin, cleansing them from all unrighteousness, man. Why? So that they could come back into the Garden of Eden, the original place that God had for man in the garden when he first started, when he was walking and talking with them in the cool of the day. Oh, glory. And restore, man, that relationship back to them. The original relationship. What was that? That was before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they were walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. And all the other trees that was in the garden, man, that they could freely eat off. What other trees, man? We know about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, but they got a whole bunch of other trees in the garden too. Remember saying for fruit bearing trees and for this and for food and everything else. What trees you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about the tree of love. The tree of righteousness. The tree of peace. The tree of prosperity, the tree that bear all the fruits of the spirit, all the glory of God. There are a whole bunch of trees in the garden. The tree of, man, forgiveness, man, where you, man, forgive one another and love one another. The tree of fulfillment of purpose. The tree of, man, destiny. The tree, man, of God's will and God's desire for your life. The tree of healing. The tree of deliverance. The tree of provisions. The tree of salvation. All them trees, man. Eat off them trees. God said, come on back into the original place. And man, start eating off all them other trees. And as you start eating off all them other trees, man, guess what's going to happen to the sin that's in our lives and the shortcomings that's in our lives? They're going to get, they're going to get less and less and less and less. When, Arthur, when you continue eating out the tree of knowledge of good and evil and trying to overcome, man, you know, the evil in your life, man, by the good work that you do? No. When you start eating off all them other trees, the righteousness of God that you already are, the holiness of God that you already are, the character and nature of God that you already are. You start eating off all them trees, man, guess what they're going to do? Every seed, man, fruit of his own. Guess what he's going to start producing? He's going to start producing that in your life. When, Arthur? When you eat off all of that. When you eat off the bread of life. Thank God for what he said through the Old Testament prophets and everything else, man, you know. And that was a schoolmaster, man. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it has been said. And he started quoting Moses and Isaiah and all the other prophets and everything else. He said, you have heard what they said, but I say unto you. In other words, he said, but listen, man, what they said, man, was God's permissive will, because he was talking to a people who were dead and trespassing and sin. But what I say unto you is not just God's permissive will, it's God's original will, God's original purpose, God's perfect will for your life. See, that's a permissive will of God. God don't cause things to happen, but he had to permit it to happen because he can't violate his word. And then that's his perfect will. All them other guys, man, they were proclaiming, man, you know, most of that message was God permissive will. Jesus Christ come, man, proclaiming God's perfect will. And in God's perfect will, man, you just like him. You created in his image and likeness. He loved you, man, and his love for you covers all your faults and all your mistakes. Listen, if you're not careful, you'll misunderstand what I'm saying and thinking, man, okay, God love it, just cover all my faults and everything, man, mistake. So if I go on and do anything, man, you know, God's still going to love me. Yes, he's still going to love you, but, man, you living in the reality of what it means to be, man, and you experiencing that love and living in the reality of it and living like God wants you to live, you ain't never going to be able to do that. And as a result of it, man, you're going to short circuit all them things that he blessed you with. All the peace, all the joy, all the love, all the forgiveness, all the fulfillment of life, you're never going to get there. You're going to, if I can say it this way, you're going to do just like the children of Israel did. You're going to die in the wilderness. Saved. Egypt was a type of the world, man. God delivered them out of Egypt. He saved them first. But then after he saved them, man, he took them through a wilderness experience. The wilderness experience was to get Egypt out of them, the Egypt mentality out of them, so that he could take them across the Jordan River into their inheritance. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, my time is just about up here. Man, this is what God wants you to know. God said, man, that big picture, it's already done. And when you see that big picture of what he's already done for your life, then you can start putting, man, all them other pieces, man, that's in this world. It's much easier for you to put it together, then. You'll be able to understand the Bible, man, like never before, man. And instead of it being a religious book, man, it'll be a book, man, of revelation knowledge, man, of instructions, man, on how to live holy and upright, man, before your Father in heaven. Line up on line, precept upon precept. Walking out of darkness, walking out of sin, into the marvelous light and into the righteousness and righteous living that he intended for us to have. Listen, God has a marvelous plan and a marvelous purpose for your life. And this counsel is going to stand. And when you know it, you will cease from your works. Remember what I said in the beginning? And after God decided what he wanted and finished it and showed us the end product, then the Bible said on the seventh day he rested. And that remains a rest for us, the people of God, where we cease from our works and enter in into his work. And his work is a completed work. And you're talking about living righteous and holy then. And then they're not only living righteous and holy, you won't be able to say like the old Vatican priest said, silver and gold have we not. Like he said that they couldn't say, because they got all the money and everything else that they need. So you will not only be able to say, hey, man, I got all the riches of heaven, but you'll be able to say in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. You'll be able to cast out devils. You'll be able to open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears, raise the dead. I'm not so much talking about physically, man. I'm talking about open spiritual blind eyes, unstop spiritual deaf ears so that people could hear what God is trying to say to them. Because if this gospel that I'm talking about is here, it's because the God of this world, the devil, have blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. That seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not. And we as ministers and children of the Most High God, you can't go into that devil's world, man, and spoil his good and get them people that's on that road that's wide that lead to destruction. You can't go on there, man, and get them off of there until you first bind up the strong man. You got to put the devil in check. You got to put the devil under your feet. You got to let the devil know that you know that you know that you know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And instead of, man, you running from the devil and afraid of the devil be running from you and afraid of you. Every time you get up in the morning, man, instead of man coming after you, you be saying, oh, Lord, they up again. They're going to put us in our place. They're going to let the world know, man, that, man, we are defeated foes and that our kingdom has come down and that Babylon has fallen, man, and that we don't have no more authority in their life. Oh, we got power because we set up our system up on this earth, this world system, and this power is still there, but the authority to execute that power over the children of God, man, is what, man, has been taken back from us. Because that authority, God gave them in dominion. Hey, listen, y'all, my time is up. If you like further information, man, concerning, man, what God is ministering to you, you'll be more than happy, man, to continue sharing with you. Stay tuned and continue to listen to this broadcast. If you tune into this broadcast, man, it's because God called you to this. And he got a plan and a purpose. That plan and a purpose, man, is to get you to his destiny for your life. Listen, I love you. If you would like to contact us for further information and further instruction, and we could be of any help to you, our number is 713-870-3776. Again, that number is 713-870-3776. Listen, my wife and I, Gail LaValle, and my family and our ministry, we love you with the love of the Lord. God bless you. Stay tuned, and we'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LeBain. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life